Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Rick Stack, who's the publisher of The Secret to Healing Cancer. The Chinese psychiatrist and family doctor presents his amazing method for curing cancer through psychological and spiritual growth. This is Dr. Ting Sing Hu. I think that's how you pronounce it. Thanks so much for joining us, Rick. Where are you calling from?
Long Island, right outside of New York City.
Okay, great. Well, did I pronounce the doctor's name correctly?
Not really, but
okay.
It's not that easy. Not that easy to pronounce. It's and even after these years, I'm still having problems. It's Dr. Tian Sheng Shi.
I wouldn't have gotten that one. Yeah, it's HSU.
HSU, they seem to pronounce it a little different over there in Taiwan,
right.
from person to person.
Right. Well, this was a very interesting book for me. We've had a cancer clinic here at Avatar Cancer Center since 1999, and we're exploring a lot of the same methods that the doctor has in this book. Basically, you know, I read the Seth material in its entirety, I believe, a few years after I got my residency in plastic surgery, so I've had this similar spiritual education that the doctor has, and so I agree completely that there is an awfully lot of what we would call biological conflict or psychological conflict, and the most important thing that we can ask a patient when they walk in the door is, do you want to live or do you want to die? Because if they really want to live, I mean, if the life force energy is behind that, then they have a chance. But if, and it doesn't, as he says in here, you can use many, many different types of treatments of cancer, but it's that underlying will to live that takes them through, especially when they have metastatic disease, to clearing that up. And so we've had similar experiences here with that very, very important spiritual component. So you want to tell the listening audience how you got introduced to the book and its author?
Well, sure. You are familiar with the Seth material a little bit. I'm not sure if your audience is.
Right.
Seth is the sort of New Age teacher, I guess you'd call him, who some people actually say launched the New Age movement in the late 60s. And he wrote a book called Seth Speaks and The Nature of Personal Reality that was a classic in the field. And he articulated the concept that, in fact, coined the phrase, you create your own reality, from which many other authors took off. I actually studied with Seth for many years directly and attended about 100 Seth sessions in Jane Roberts' class in Elmira, New York, when I was 21 years old. And I then subsequently started publishing the Seth books, some of the ones that were not published yet. There was quite a body of work that was not published. So I now publish about two-thirds of the Seth books, and I've been teaching courses on the Seth material, dreams, lucid dreams, out-of-body experiences, for about 40 years. Now, Dr. Sue, who's younger than I am, by about 20 years, he started his medical career as a family doctor, even while he was in medical school, he started reading the Seth books. And as a family doctor, he started incorporating the Seth material into his practice until he actually became convinced, of course, that the true cause of disease is psychological and spiritual, and has to do with problems within the psyche that need to be resolved. So he decided at that point to go into psychiatry. He became the head of Taipei County Hospital psychiatric department, and saw thousands of patients. And he incorporated the Seth material, the principles of the Seth material, into his practice. In fact, he reading and studying the Seth books became part of his every treatment. And he now runs a Seth clinic in Taiwan, and wrote this. This is one of many of the books that he written. This is actually his first book. And in it, he discusses the applications of everything that he's learned as a psychiatrist, incorporated with the spiritual growth principles, and the concept that you create your own reality, and the importance of spiritual growth in general to any illness, really. Now, of course, he treats a lot of cancer patients as probably one of the bulk of his patients, but he also treats diabetes, high blood pressure, and psychological illnesses as well, and just about any illness. The fact of the matter is that when I was over there, I mean, he introduced me to person after person who was stating, I mean, that they either had gone into remission completely, or they had they're still alive, you know, 5 years later, 7 years later, after they had only been given 3 to 6 months to live. So he'd been getting such great results that he's now, you know, it's very difficult to even to get an appointment there, but he manages, he sees people, goes to a lot of trouble, makes sure that everybody's seen, and is a very compassionate fellow.
Yeah, the idea that cancer can be a chronic disease is one that is more prevalent in Europe. In the U.S., that's not so prevalent, but that's probably because we treat with radiation and chemotherapy here that probably, you know, once the cancer does recur, it becomes a lot more aggressive. So that's kind of the expectation, and so that's what happens. But the idea that cancer can be a chronic disease, and the doctor in his book says that many patients on autopsy are found to have cancer, and they didn't even know they had cancer. That's probably very true. So, you know, many of us are walking around with cancer, don't really know we have it, and so, you know, it's not as deadly as people are believe it is, at least especially in the U.S.
Well, indeed, Dr. Sue mentions that cancer cells are in the body all the time, every day.
Right.
And it's a natural part of our ecosystem, so to speak, and the body's immune system kills them. So it's not a wonder that you find some people that might have an autopsy, they might find a cancer that was not aggressive and that might have disappeared. Mm-hmm. According to Seth, for example, people are healing themselves of cancer and other diseases all the time without realizing it. Because they never went in and they never got labeled. And of course, in our culture, where you're looking at an illness as something that hits you from the outside, the labeling of disease can be very destructive if you don't believe that you have any power to heal yourself. So once somebody puts that label on you, then your expectation is that it's going to get worse. And these are all very, very important factors. And in fact, I mean, that is the fundamental principle that we start with in this book. And I teach the SAP materials, and I cover topics in my teaching. I'm not a practitioner like Dr. Sue is, but I do understand Seth's concepts about this. And the first principle that one must understand, and for this there is considerable body of evidence being built up, of course, and we can discuss the field of psychoneuroimmunology, and I'm sure that you're aware, you and your listeners are already aware of most of this. But the first principle is that the disease, any disease, did not hit you accidentally. And it just, there is a corollary in your psyche, and that your body is, in fact, reflecting an inner problem, an inner issue, an inner blockage, an inner repression, whatever. Your body is a reflecting mechanism, and it's doing its job, actually, in reflecting your issue. Your body doesn't want to be ill. Your inner self and soul doesn't want you to be ill, but the ego... often, as you probably know, can get involved in many negative belief systems and cut itself off from the source of its being, and thereby run into problems which need to be resolved, spiritual growth problems. And in fact, illness is just one arena where things get worked out. Obviously, there's other arenas where things can get manifested.
Yeah, and what we found is that different areas, different organs have different, clusters of spiritual lessons attached to them. As the doctor says in the Secret of Healing Cancer, a lot of breast cancer can be lack of nurturing of the woman herself. In other words, she nurtures everybody else but doesn't nurture herself. And kidney cancer can be problems with relationships. And, lung cancer, he has a special theory in here about lung cancer being lack of communication, lack of expression, especially emotionally.
These are things that he saw, and because he's treated thousands of patients.
Right.
He's not saying that it's always like that, and he's also not saying that it applies to every country because there are cultural differences. But what he did say is in Taiwan, he noticed, for example, that the women that had breast cancer versus women that had cervical cancer, that there were certain types of issues and problems and psychological issues and spiritual issues that corresponded to the organ that was being attacked, or more specifically, that the patient was attacking themselves, so to speak, which is more accurate in a way. Obviously, they're not consciously attacking themselves. People are not sitting there saying, "I want cancer," but what they are doing is they are actually making a choice. In that, they are concentrating, for example, on habitual negative thought patterns. Over several years, they don't realize that that's a choice being made because most people are not trained in mastering their own mind and being responsible for what we focus on. So these are the kind of things that Dr. Su will go into. I mean, Dr. Su's treatment involves discovering the knots in somebody's heart, so to speak, the knots in their psyche. Where is a person blocking their energy? According to Seth, for example, before you get a serious illness, there's always going to be a blockage in expression or a blockage in self-respect, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, you get this hopelessness within you, and that hopelessness affects the immune system. And
right.
So really what's going on is that your natural state is a state of health. And the body fights off cancer cells every day without any problem. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then something happens in your psyche and in your life, you know, where your immune system fails to do its job anymore. And that because you've put this block in or block up. Now, often, of course, you can see the evidence in physical reality, whereas somebody literally had a death of a loved one or totally stressed out over work or whatever. And there's often these corollaries that correspond. But even those corollaries are results of an inner problem, or you wouldn't even have those physical conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that there, you know, he treats a particular, I guess, group of cancer patients that are going to be more likely to have good results with, you know, psychological and spiritual shifts. And there may be, in my experience anyway, here, there may be a group of cancer patients that are more physically based. Like, for example, people exposed to high levels of radiation get more thyroid cancer, and they may or may not even believe that they're going to get cancer, but they probably do anyway because the thyroid concentrates radioactive iodine. So there is a small group of physically induced cancers. Another example would be aflatoxins. Certain molds produce toxins that give people liver cancer, and it has very little to do with belief. So there is probably a section of cancer that's more physically induced, but I would say the majority of cancer is got some spiritual or psychological component that may be affecting an organ that has carcinogenic exposure, but it is probably the psycho-spiritual blow that is the last thing that then manifests as cancer. That's just my own opinion. But, you know, we do see people with toxic exposures that then get cancer, you know, arsenic.
absolutely.
Does that.
And Dr. Sue is never saying that that was not a factor. This is a complex issue, actually, when you can.
It is.
The short answer from the, although this probably deserves a dissertation, really. But the short answer is that there's two things we're looking at here. First of all, if somebody is, you know, living in Chernobyl and gets exposed to radiation, we're talking about also a metaphysical issue. Is why were they there? Why were they there?
Right.
Why is a guy on a plane that crashes? Why is a guy not on a plane that crashes? Why did somebody walk out of the World Trade Center? I know some people in my neighborhood who did, just before the planes crash. So that's a metaphysical issue.
And
we could certainly discuss that, having to do with whether do you have any power over events? Do you create your reality? Seth would say yes. Okay. So then, if you're exposing yourself to poison and you then get cancer, obviously, when you expose yourself to a certain level of radiation, or you could get cancer or you could just die. So then we're talking about why were you in that situation. But in general, when you have, for example, the fear that is associated with certain foods, certain things in the environment, and even the issue of the sun, for example, as a producer of cancer. And I'm not saying people shouldn't protect themselves from the sun, but what Dr. Sue would say is that these, in general, these factors are piggyback factors. That the reason why people create their reality of getting a life-threatening disease, again, has to do with their psyche. And of course, now we're treading into very, very metaphysical waters to discuss, again, why is somebody in a plane or not a plane? Why did somebody wind up in Chernobyl? But in general, people have this fear generated in the culture, for example, that they can't even handle the most minute amounts of toxics in the environment. And they're taught that almost everything has these things. So they're actually many people walking around just feeling frightened, and that their body doesn't have the defense mechanisms, natural defense, that can handle the environment anymore. They're almost expecting to get ill as they get older. This is the kind of thing that Dr. Sue is saying is extremely destructive, that the body can handle reasonable amounts of toxins, okay? Not unreasonable amounts of toxins, but the body has tremendous healing mechanisms, tremendous immune system. When you believe in that, you're not walking around with this level of anxiety and protective mechanisms that hurt your immune system. And when you walk around with this general fear, a generalized fear that culture, you know, it hurts. And it's one of the big factors in illness.
Well, an example of that would be someone who takes a deliberate overdose, I mean, of an incredibly high level of drugs that would kill anybody, I mean, many times over, and yet nothing happens to them. They're perfectly okay. They go to sleep, they wake up, they feel a little groggy, but they're perfectly okay. Now, there's no way to explain that unless spirit can handle a very, very lethal toxic load. And yet, I know that can happen. You know, that can happen.
That's an extreme case, though, right? And it's not.
Well, it's an extreme case, but if that case exists,
right?
Okay, it's just like if spontaneous remission of cancer exists, and I mean immediate spontaneous remission. Somebody feels a vibration in their head; it goes down to their feet. By the time it reaches their feet, there's no more metastatic cancer in their body, which I've also seen. What I'm saying is these things do exist. They've been documented. So therefore, we absolutely know that the body is capable of protecting itself from, ingested toxins. You know,
I mean, agree.
If it can do that, it can do the other, you know.
I agree.
The question is, does it always do that? You know, is the belief that smoking cigarettes, so I think Seth said this, the belief that smoking causes cancer has caused more cancer than the cigarettes.
Well, I don't know if he talked about this, that he might have said it was cigarettes. I know he said it, that very thing, in other areas. For example, okay. he said that the commercials, I'm calling them commercials, but the health announcements, for example, mm-hmm. about breast cancer, that have caused women to feel that they have to check themselves constantly, that this is a disease mm-hmm. that could hit them at any moment, having nothing to mm-hmm. do with themselves, you see, having nothing to
right.
do with their own
they're
power,
a cancer
that
victim.
A victim, that this is just can hit you, and then mm-hmm. seeing this on television over and over the years, that he said that those health announcements caused more cancer than they helped.
That's interesting, yeah. And it's interesting that my patients and probably his patients as well often come in knowing what caused the cancer. It's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
They'll tell me why they got cancer.
Know. Right.
And they're and well, my patients are probably a little more spiritually advanced.
Definitely
just,
saying
you know,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they know. And so a lot of what we're doing is releasing techniques that help the patient release the belief systems that led to the problem.
That's excellent, and it's so gratifying to hear that people like you exist over here in the United States.
Well, you know, what's so interesting is I also do the surgery. You know, I'm a plastic surgeon, but, you know, I mean, one of the easiest ways to get a cancer out of a patient is to cut it out is if it
right.
hasn't spread. I mean,
right.
if somebody has a melanoma in their arm and it's just in the skin, I'm
right.
going to tell you, the easiest way to get rid of that cancer is to cut it out. And,
right.
you know, I mean, as a surgeon, I do believe in surgery because I see it work wonderfully. Now, does it work for more advanced cancers? No, it's pretty much a waste of time. But, you know, at a certain stage, it really helps. And the cancer scare can be very good in getting the patient to reevaluate their life, like is talked about in The Secret to Healing Cancer, you know, all the questions they need to ask themselves. And,
right. Yeah, I mean, my general advice to people is to use the medical profession, but don't just rely mm-hmm. on the medical profession.
Right.
Because
understand that's very good.
Most of the medical profession is not like you, as you know. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the medical profession is still caught in the belief that the human being is a mechanistic thing, and their premise, their bottom line, at this point, even whatever they suspect, is that you cure illness by fixing the machine. They're not
right.
into seeing the corollary. If they don't see the corollary between illness and the psyche and the problems in the psyche, they're actually so far backward at this point in understanding what's really going on that,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a long, long way to go before we can start really addressing the true cause of illness.
That's true. Well, when we understand how consciousness creates physical reality, you know, the different stages of, you know, how it's almost like we have a sheath. We have a physical sheath, an emotional sheath, a mental sheath, and then a spiritual sheath. I think that's a good way to understand how things that are blockages at the higher levels then can manifest in the physical as cancer. And one of the books that I was reading, I was giving a lecture at Unity Church on the effect of the mind on the body. And it was a German psychotherapist that wrote, I think two German psychotherapists wrote a book called, I think it was called Healing the Mind. And it was, they said that conflict not properly handled in the mental and emotional planes would result as infection in the physical. And aggression not properly handled in the mental and emotional plane would manifest as allergy and autoimmune disease in the physical. And the last one's the most interesting one. Love not properly handled in the physical, I'm sorry, in the mental and emotional plane could manifest as cancer in the physical. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because block love, which is, because whenever you block any emotion,
that's right.
This is right from the Seth material, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you block it, you can't block any emotion without blocking all emotion to some degree.
Right.
And particularly in our culture, one of the things that suffers big time in our whole lack of spiritual growth is love. Is our capacity
right.
to love ourselves? Well, of course,
mm-hmm.
many people don't really love themselves, and they don't even realize
sure.
the guilt that they're carrying around or even where it comes from. And
mm-hmm.
so when you have that issue of love, is getting, and I mean, in a way, you know, from the spiritual perspective, all energy comes from love. And when you're blocking
mm-hmm.
your energy, you're blocking the expression of your love. So, yeah, I'm right with you on that, and it makes a lot of sense.
It does. So what the doctor is doing with his treatment program, when he says he's untying the knots of the heart, he's actually creating a way for those blockages to be removed.
Absolutely.
But,
and he uses the nature, the principles of the nature of personality and Seth Speaks, those two books, have a plethora of methods but the nature of personal reality,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if when you read it last, is like the classics
yeah.
on working with beliefs. So just
mm-hmm.
as you said, you do with your patients, Dr. Sue will look at the individual's life situation and
mm-hmm.
will also examine what their beliefs are in the various areas and help them to change their beliefs, change their thought patterns, and also change their lifestyle. And their life, and see what they're doing that in physical reality as well, and along with this whole thing goes a spiritual growth process, and the spiritual
mm-hmm.
growth process includes a re-education, a reorientation, where you are realizing that you have an inner self, a higher self, a spiritual self,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call it. And that this spiritual self is part of all that is, or God, or whatever you want
mm-hmm.
to call it. And there's a transformation in this spiritual process that occurs, an awakening, where you realize your connection with the inner self, and you realize your connection with all that is. And you start to let the light of that knowledge and intuition, and there are methods for doing this, including various types of meditation, etc.,
mm-hmm.
And working with dreams. And Seth goes beyond that into working with lucid dreams and out-of-body experiences. He does
mm-hmm.
the sort of the whole package, as well as working with beliefs. But the idea is you reconnect and with your soul, with your inner self, and you let the intuitions and light of the inner self into your life. You join with the joy and vitality of your being. And that's where true happiness comes from, not from money and not even from relationships, although, of course, relationships
mm-hmm.
are part of your overall happiness. But true happiness starts with your own self-love and self-understanding of the God in training that you are, or you as a portion of God.
That's true. You can't count on the external world to provide happiness to you. Happiness is within, and that's a very important spiritual lesson. And the other one that I think is very important is that you can't make people love you. I mean, the best you can do is love yourself and then attract to you people who will love you because of the law of attraction. But essentially, a lot of people get very unhappy because certain people don't love them. And,
right.
you know, you just can't, it doesn't work like that. But I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about something that's been in the news lately. When Angelina Jolie got her mastectomy and reconstruction because she had the BRCA gene, what effect do you think this idea that you can have a gene that predisposes you to certain cancers and then you prophylactically do surgery and other things because of it, what's that with the belief system?
Well, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because I don't even think that the doctors that were consulting with Angelina Jolie were ascribing to the latest science, because
mm-hmm.
the latest science indicates that genetics are not deterministic.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that what's really going on with the genes is that they get turned on and turned off according to current conditions. The cell,
so the
cell wall has receptors on it. They've discovered
mm-hmm.
that the brain of the cell is not in the nucleus, but it's really on the walls. And the walls
mm-hmm.
of the cells have these receptors. And these receptors are responsive to the environment of the cell, which includes your emotions, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So your emotional states directly affect your genetics. There was recent studies done by Dean Ornish. He's an MD in the mm-hmm. past 35 years. And he's demonstrated that lifestyle changes, changes in diet, changes in your attitude, okay, this can turn on health-promoting genes and fat, and turn off mm-hmm. Disease-promoting genes. So, and there was a three-month period that he did this his program of changing diet and lifestyle. And, you know, mm-hmm. this included lonely people hanging out with people in a group, you know, so that loneliness, they weren't as lonely, you know, all of these factors.
Mm-hmm.
And 500 genes, if I have that right, were changed within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does this tell us? And if you go to the work of Dawson Church and the work of, others, okay, and these are scientists
mm-hmm.
who have demonstrated and peer-supported that genetics are not deterministic. So what?
Yeah,
is that?
Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton was on.
Yeah,
Bruce Lipton was on the radio show a couple of times, and so I'd refer the audience to his work. And I think you might be able to get some of his lectures online free now. But in any case, Bruce is a cell biologist who taught in medical schools. And really came up with the idea that, you know, saying that your BRCA gene causes breast cancer is the same as saying that you can drive by a plot of land in the city and throw out the blueprint and expect the building to just miraculously appear. You know, the blueprint does not build the building. And that's the example he gives in his writing, which is really true. And the gene's just the blueprint. So a lot of other
exactly
things
right.
go into building
so
the building.
So Angelina Jolie's decision was based,
mm-hmm.
it appears, on information that was not really full. Now, now here's an example, okay? I'm going to give this is, if I can read a quick quote from Seth, all right, on this.
Mm-hmm.
With the greatest understanding and compassion, let me mention that Western medicine is in its way one of the most uncivilized hypnotic devices. The most
mm-hmm.
educated Western doctors will look with utter dismay and horror at the thought of a chicken being sacrificed in a primitive witch doctor's hut, and yet will consider it quite scientific and inevitable that a woman sacrifice two breasts to cancer. The doctors,
right.
the doctors will simply see no other way out, and unfortunately
mm-hmm.
neither will the patient. So in many
right.
instances, therefore, modern physicians are inadequate witch doctors who have forgotten their craft.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnotists.
That's funny.
Who
yeah.
no longer believe in the power of healing and whose suggestions
mm-hmm.
bring about other diseases which are diagnosed in advance. That's a sample
true.
From the nature of personal reality to the kind of detail
mm-hmm.
That he goes into. But there's something else I want to mention here about this whole Angelina Jolie thing. You know, where I
mm-hmm.
live in Long Island, there is a relatively
mm-hmm.
higher incidence of breast cancer. A cancer
mm-hmm.
cluster. And now scientists can't pinpoint the cause. They hypothesize that perhaps it involves the water because they can't think of anything else that makes sense.
The lead levels
yeah,
in the water. Yep.
It doesn't occur to them that a possible causal factor might
mm-hmm.
be a similarity in the psyches of individuals who are living or attracted to the same area. A cluster
mm-hmm.
of limiting beliefs. Now, similarly, in the area of genetics, an apparently
mm-hmm.
overlooked possibility is that so-called inherited genetics might involve belief systems that are passed on from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
As limiting or negative patterns of thought and beliefs may be transmitted from parent to child, that perhaps similar materializations of such patterns, like an illness,
mm-hmm.
might occur at some point in the child's life until the child, you know, changes the pattern by changing their belief system. So my feeling is that regardless of the statistics, you know, and which I think Angelina Jolie and I wrote an article about this topic, so I know a lot about it, but it was 87% of breast cancer. Her doctors estimated that she had an 87% risk of breast cancer
mm-hmm.
and a 50% risk of ovarian cancer. Because of her faulty gene. Well, the fact of the matter is that's in the general population of people that are uneducated in the fact that they have the power to create health.
Right.
And as soon as you take yourself out of that pool, those statistics don't apply to you anymore.
Right.
Not in the same way.
That's true.
So,
yeah, that's true.
So that,
well,
so that's why I feel strongly that this was not really a great model for others to just blindly follow.
Well, it's interesting. I'm actually in a book with Angelina Jolie, along with 40, there's a total of 42 women, including Oprah, Michelle Obama, J.K. Rowling, Jane Fonda, Madonna, Whoopi Goldberg. It goes on and on, the list of people. I'm in the medical section. And
interesting. Thank God you're there. So I got to
Angelina talks about her work, you know, as the UN ambassador, and it's really a lovely chapter. And I talk about the problems with breast implants, which is another thing that she may face eventually. So so that's kind of an interesting little twist, but. Yeah, I agree that the genetics kind of go by the wayside once you start with higher level spiritual practices, because I think that the overall way to look at this, and maybe Seth does say this in a way, is that at higher levels of spiritual vibration, higher vitality, higher energy levels, energy is intimately connected with immunity. How many people have gotten deathly ill with some virus or flu-like illness right when they were hit with their wife trying to leave them, or they're being fired from a job, or being falsely accused about something? The recent Hitchcock movie showed Alfred Hitchcock getting deathly ill right as his wife, when he thought his wife was having an affair, you know, and so that's historical. I mean, but probably that happens again and again and again. So the ability to link energy and immunity would mean that we want to have spiritual practices and internal mental ways of thinking that would keep our energy high. And if we're able to do that, our immunity stays high. And, you know, basically we might be able to die conscious deaths like the masters do, where they just, you know, tell everybody they're going to die and they go to a room and they die, you know, with no illness at all. I mean, I think that might be possible.
Well, look, whether we get to the point where we're ready to do that, or we just die in our sleep or without, you know, health, the point is that the individual can live a long life and be healthy till their dying day.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Strong and healthy. Now, yeah, the body will gradually maybe wear out somewhat, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are examples of many people who are strong and healthy till their dying day, and those should be that's what we should be talking about. But instead,
right?
Because in the general culture, the spiritual beliefs and the limiting beliefs are so pervasive. Yeah, the statistics will show that, like, a lot of people are getting ill, but there's reason why we're in that situation. The same reason that we have war, and the same reason that we have poverty on the planet, is the same reason why we have so much disease, because we have a spiritual problem. We have spiritual issues that have to be resolved, and those problems manifest. They manifest in many different problem areas, and illness is one of them. Anyway, that's Seth's point of view, and Dr. Sue's point of view. That's also my point of view.
There you go. So, given that you become ill, and it doesn't have to be with cancer, obviously. It can be with any acute or chronic illness. We can assume that in most cases, that this would be a sign of a higher spiritual, emotional, or mental problem. And so what are some of the ways that Dr. Sue and others say we can find our way out of it?
Well, okay. So, I mean, a spiritual practice is actually a good in general overall thing to do, okay? But specifically, if you have a minor illness, then you could use that as a practice point because, you know, it's not serious, but it's showing up and it's reflecting in your psyche. Now, I don't want to make this too simplistic because, you know, the spiritual growth process involves just what you were talking about earlier about examining beliefs and what mm-hmm. Seth talks about. So there's a process by which you want to try to link up whatever if you have a specific illness, you can actually just sit down or watch your thoughts and emotions during the day. And when you feel the symptoms, see what kind of thoughts and emotions come up. Those thoughts and emotions are going to point to certain belief structures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and those belief structures will be clues into the areas that you need to work. So this is always a multi-process thing, what we're talking about here. We're talking about learning to be able to change your belief systems, and that means changing your thought patterns also. So you're going to be changing your habitual thought patterns, and that's going to result in a change of your emotions. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now you're also going to be changing your lifestyle because when you change your beliefs, your life will change, and that requires action. So you want to create, if you have a rough situation, you want to create a new situation. The only way you're really going to change it is by changing your psyche, by changing your beliefs. When you change your beliefs, you're going to find that new impulses arrive in line with these newly accepted beliefs, and then it is up to you to take action on them. So you have to show up.
Right.
So there's a combination of, and you know, visualization techniques are part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're visualizing
right.
something, and according to Seth, when you and many other New Age authors, of course, when you visualize something, you're making it a little bit more possible, a little bit more real. You're beginning to attract the reality. You're beginning to expect it. Expectation is the actual force that drives the creation. When you really expect something
right.
to happen and you're focusing on constructive thought patterns, you will, law of attraction, create the reality. So there's one. So that's one process by which you're attacking the situation by changing your thought patterns and by taking action and changing the things in your life, improving your life. But you also need this other huge component, which is a reconnection with your inner self, where you use methods. Seth has various exercises that are kind of his slightly different forms of kind of meditation that he calls psychological time, and an exploration of the dream state. You see, for Seth, these are very important aspects where you use your dreams. In fact, you can use your dreams for healing. In ancient Greek times, there was the temples of Asclepius where people would go to have a healing dream. And this is thousands of people reported having healing dreams and getting cured.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many, many of these temples. And I mean, I could, you know, take a lot of time to explain what happened there. But the bottom line is that there's a therapy that goes on every night, actually, within the dream state. And but we often block that therapy through negative belief and fear and guilt. So we're messing all these things up. And these fundamental areas need to be worked on. Generally, for example, guilt, lack of worth, is generally a component in almost any serious illness. A component. And so that's why an individual works on their self-respect, their self-worth, from a larger perspective, realizing they're part in the universe, realizing that they are a God in training, that they're a portion of God. And these are very, very important shifts in belief, and they open you up to your full energy and to the intuitive voice of the inner self. As you let that inner self guide you through your dreams, through your meditations, or through learning to listen to the voice of the inner self during the day as it guides you, and going with the flow of your being. Think of it, as Seth often would say, think of this as abandoning yourself to your spontaneous self, letting yourself go with the joy and vitality of your being, following your joy, indeed following your joy and your play. And you start to look at life as an expression of joy and love, not as a repression, not as a place where you have to be on guard constantly against dangers of all kinds. It's a completely different framework, where you believe that your universe is safe because you have the power to create a safe reality, rather than the current cultural belief that your universe is not safe. that you have to
right.
be afraid of enemies that can strike you from without, or diseases, or worst of all, enemies from within. So
mm-hmm.
this growth process, and I definitely, and as Dr. Sue does, and I do, I recommend a study of the Seth material as part of the spiritual growth process or for healing. And again, those
mm-hmm.
two books, The Seth Speaks and The Nature Plus Reality, would be the way to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are both really good books. You know, I was really grateful that I came across the Seth materials. I think that was probably, other than the stuff that I read with Casey, but Casey's material wasn't a course. Like Seth's material is like a whole course. It's a, you know, it's got a lot of continuity to it within it. So that was really helpful.
Indeed. Everybody, let me mention before we get off that
mm-hmm.
my website is www.sethcenter.com, sethcenter.com,
mm-hmm.
that's one word, and you can purchase all the Seth books there, and you can get the copy of Dr. Sue's book there as well.
Great, great. So, I guess we're coming up on the end of the hour now. Is there any other... message that you would like to share with our listening audience?
Sure. I mean, if I were to sum this up, I would say if you just listen to your heart, you will understand that disease does not hit you from the outside. And I know it's a hard thing to take responsibility, but the key to taking responsibility is that you have the power to heal yourself. That's what this is about. Nobody consciously caused themselves illness. They unconsciously
mm-hmm.
caused themselves illness because they didn't realize that many of the beliefs that they've accepted from the culture are not really that constructive and have led individuals to be frightened deep down or to have blockages deep down. So my message
mm-hmm.
to people is to realize to take back control. Use the doctors as you will, as you think it's constructive, but don't let them be the only source. Realize that the most important thing is, as Susan just said at the beginning of the hour, is your will to live. If you decide you want to live, your body has a super powerful immune system. What's happened is it's been short-circuited. It hasn't been short-circuited by anything from the outside, and it hasn't been short-circuited by itself. It's been short-circuited by the psyche and some problems and issues that need to be resolved. Any, just about any, within reason, a so-called incurable disease can be cured. And there are records of this in, for example, the Institute of Noetic Science. Almost every disease known to man has had a remission. You can heal yourself of any illness. It's up to you to realize that your immune system can kick back into gear, and you can do it. So take that attitude, go for it, learn what you need to learn, and claim the natural state of health, which is yours. That is your natural state of health. You deserve it, and you can do it.
I also want to add that, although this isn't widely known, but at least in the Western world, but in the Eastern world it's recognized, that we most likely have an expiration date. There is probably a death date for each of us that is final. Now, there are potentials before that where we can leave. In fact, some teachers say every 7 years there is an exit point that, you know, you may have a near miss on the highway, or you may have something that, you know, you decide not to die because you turn right instead of left. You never know. But in general, it's been my experience as a surgeon that people who are going to die, who have a death date, often know that they're going to die, and that they have an acceptance of that. And other people around them may not accept it, their spouses, their children, but they have a knowing that they're going to die, and that it is perfectly in divine order. So, you know, the caveat to all of this is that you do probably need to understand that there is a death date. And if it is your death date and you're more spiritually aware, you will know that it is. But that doesn't mean that it's your death of you, who you are. It's just the death of your physical body, because This is probably another whole radio show, but I'm sure Seth goes on to teach us that we are much more than our physical bodies, and that when the time comes to drop the physical body, that we go on and do a lot of other things, including come back into the physical body when it's appropriate. So given that it is not your death date, the things that are in this book, The Secret to Healing Cancer, are very, very important and powerful. And if it is your death date, then the study of the Seth material for more information about that would also be, I guess, helpful.
Of course, Seth has a different perspective on a lot of issues because of where he is. And he brings up the issue of parallel universes and multi-reality.
Mm-hmm.
And with
right.
the exception of certain birth conditions, his position is that there's nothing written in stone. There's nothing. There's no absolute death point where it's written in your genes or whatever that you can't control, that you're going to die. Now people create their own death, and all time
mm-hmm.
is simultaneous, and there's different versions of history, and this gets into some big issues. But for the individual, Seth's main message is, there is nothing outside of yourself that controls you. There is no absolute death date where you have to die. There is no absolute anything. Nothing controls you except you. You create your reality. And if you want to live a long, happy, healthy life, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can put a curse on you of any sort saying that you have an early death date or whatever.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to clarify
yeah.
what his position is. But,
yeah, no, that would be true. Everything you said is true. But the Rishi masters that were in India, for example, they had thousands of scrolls that they wrote for people that would come later. And in each case, their death date on that scroll written 1,000 years before was actually their death date. So the point is, and Deepak Chopra goes into this in his Book of Secrets, the point is that outside of space and time, your death date is known, you see. But
okay.
it's not because somebody cursed you or somebody did something to you. It's just known outside of space and time.
I would agree in that there are different versions, and this again, this is just a philosophical
uh-huh.
Discussion. But
right.
The theory is that there is in metaphysics, from Seth's point of view, and also from
mm-hmm.
the multi-universe theory, is there's not just one version of our life anyway.
True.
So in those
That's
terms,
true.
There are that all time is simultaneous. And yes, if people can know that there is X probable reality where this person
mm-hmm.
Checks out early,
right.
but there's also another probable reality where he doesn't.
Right,
that's
true too.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our hour, unfortunately,
sure.
so we'll have to continue this discussion another time. But it's been a
sure.
great, great hour interviewing you, and I would like to encourage people to contact you on your website and get access to the Seth materials as well as The Secret to Healing Cancer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. Next week we have Annie Kagan on the afterlife of Billy Fingers. And then on the 13th, Tina Zion, Become a Medical Intuitive, the Complete Developmental Course. The Noetic Science this week is Vocal Imaging by Vicky Dean. And please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.